This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. And we go immediately to the continent of Europe, to Theresa Fallon, to watch a story in Paris, but watch a story throughout Europe, which has to do with China and its aggression. Theresa is the director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels. Theresa, the item is the ambassador from the People's Republic of China to France, as I understand it, mocking the U.S. and mocking the U.S. over human rights. It's an odd story. However, it does suggest that the wolf warrior is not reluctant to make a fool of himself or herself in this instance. How does Europe hear these things, this food fight between Beijing and Washington? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think it's quite fascinating that the Chinese chose the French embassy website to broadcast this propaganda video. It was actually made by Dear Wang. She studied in the United States and she has made other types of videos. But I think this was in response to the American Summit for Democracy. So this really made Beijing neuralgic. They want to be seen as also a very good democracy. So that's kind of the nut of this whole video, saying that the U.S. isn't such a great democracy. Our Chinese democracy is very good, and we should be judged by how we deliver to the people. But I think it's kind of America-crazy. So you almost could think America crazy. And this woman has made other videos in regard to COVID-19 as well. And she used the theme of Halloween, showing how the U.S. was really crazy and how they were approaching COVID, whereas the Chinese were portrayed as a very sincere nurse kind of guiding China. So, and the other person representing the United States was a Chinese person in a blonde wig, kind of spousing all sorts of faulty ideas about COVID. So this person has a lot of experience trying to make these viral videos. I'm not sure they're really catching on. Here in Brussels, people kind of laughed about it. But I think that's the whole idea. The Beijing really wants to capture the world's attention with a viral video.
So she's an official agitprop video pop star in China. That's what she is. We're
that's
a new
what she's
category.
Doing for Shindong.
Gordon, I pass on to you. The wolf warrior is going ridiculous. In television, this is known as jumping the shark.
Yes. And, you know, it's, I think, symbolic of what's been happening recently, because as Theresa was talking about, Beijing has gone ballistic over the Summit for Democracy. We have seen propaganda release after propaganda release after propaganda release for weeks about this. And, you know, we sort of look at this and we Americans, you know, it hardly got any attention here. But from Beijing's point of view, it really struck a nerve.
You have a question for Theresa.
Theresa, what do you think was the general reaction throughout Europe for this, or was it just not known very well?
I don't think it was known very well. I circulated it among my social contacts, and we all kind of just dropped our jaws in shock at it. But I think that it didn't really get a lot of traction across Europe.
What is getting traction is your heating and electricity bills. And I want to connect the dots here because of your Center for Russia, Europe, and you can extend yourself all the way across Asia. There's been a virtual summit between the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, a.k.a. Xi Jinping, and the President of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, discussing their mutual support of each other because of outside interference, unnamed nations interfering in their internal affairs. What this means to Europe, of course, is higher natural gas and electricity bills in a cold winter. You in Brussels, people in Berlin, people in Paris are all feeling this. I understand it goes by way of Ukraine and the geopolitics of a tank park and threats by NATO. But in any event, everybody's participating in this dispute in Europe. What is the opinion of European papers? Let's start in Brussels. Do they think that Europe is being dragged into this? Do they believe that they should be participating and standing up to Russia? Do they see China as a part of the problem?
Well, today here in Brussels, we had a very important pre-meeting of the council, which will take place on Thursday and Friday here in Brussels. So it was the Normandy 3 format minus Russia. So it was Germany, the new Chancellor Scholz, and President Macron met with President Zelensky from Ukraine, and they discussed the situation. So this is kind of a pre-meeting trying to get the German Franco engine on the same rail, because we have a new German chancellor. And Germany has been criticized for blocking armaments to Ukraine. The new German government seems a lot like the old German government. So even though they had this 177-page coalition agreement, everyone is watching very, very carefully to see how Germany behaves towards Russia. And I feel that Europe is once again deeply divided. So you have France, Germany, Italy, very concerned about upsetting Russia, national interests in regard to, as you mentioned, gas prices. Europe has no gas in storage, so there's no way to manage this price issue. And this is something that Putin has masterminded. He's very effective of using economic leverage in Europe. And we've seen, you know, everyone's like, where's the extra gas? And I'm like, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. But now Nord Stream 2 is being considered a focus of sanctions in case there's any sort of invasion of Ukraine or military attacks. And so this is a way that he can have his cake and eat it too. He can kind of extract what he wants from NATO in regard to Ukraine, and also make sure he's guaranteed that the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline to Europe going directly from Russia to Germany will not be sanctioned.
Gordon?
Teresa, Putin has dismembered the Ukraine. He grabbed Crimea in 2014. He went after eastern Ukraine. Haven't European leaders learned anything from the 1930s? I mean, it just seems to me to be so perplexing from this side of the Atlantic.
No, it's deeply disturbing. And at this point, it's really a frozen conflict. So this narrative that Moscow is using, that they want it codified now in law, that Ukraine will not be allowed to join NATO, clearly Ukraine cannot join NATO as long as there's some sort of conflict going on. That's one of the first reasons a country cannot join NATO. They have to be not in a war situation. So by having this frozen conflict, Putin has already prevented Ukraine from joining NATO. But it's not really the NATO narrative. It's what he's most fearful of is that it's a democracy and that it's in the neighborhood. And he doesn't want to see this happen. So piecemeal by piecemeal, he's trying to destabilize Ukraine. And so the Europeans, yes, the gas used to go through Ukraine. The Germans found it uncomfortable because sometimes there were interruptions or gas was stolen. And so they contracted to have this direct link to Russia and through Schroeder, the former chancellor of Germany. So I think that it's almost a toxic subject in Germany now, this Nord Stream pipeline. Many politicians want to move away from that because it's rather embarrassing. How this will play out remains to be seen. The summit will take place Thursday and Friday here in Brussels. The Europeans are worried. They have not laid out any sort of sanctions because they don't want to show their hand to Russia. But that's also a sign of weakness, that they're unable to speak with one voice and respond to this Russian challenge. And Putin is trying to, he sees weakness and he wants to make sure that they will write into law that NATO will never, Ukraine will never join NATO. So I hope that the US government will not give in to this type of behavior. I think that it sends a worrying signal also to Beijing that they can be intimidated.
Teresa Fallon, Director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is of Gatestone Newsweek and the Hill. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.